Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello. Thank you very much for downloading the latest Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. This is episode 9, and we are rugby fans. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hi, Tim.
That is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
And we are here to talk about the last week in rugby and some of the talking points in it. And I suppose let's just get straight on with the international action. Here's a question for you. Was that a good England side or a really, really gammon Argentina side?
What's your take on it, Jay, as a Welshman?
I'm going to basically sound exactly like I sounded last week, which is, aren't England boring?
Really? Even after that first half display?
What first half display? You thought that was impressive?
That was pretty good.
No.
Consistently, big runners carrying the ball hard. Yes, that did happen. Getting over the gain line. Then
that happened.
Quick ball for the backs to use.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Fortunately, not many scrums.
I thought that Argentina weren't great. I thought England are a team that the results suggest that they're a lot better than they actually are. And they're not that good.
I think they performed very well. I think the look of that team now, you've got a lot of ball carriers putting their hands up.
When I say to you, describe how Saracens play, how would you describe that?
Pragmatic territory.
Yeah.
Possession territory.
So most of the back line are from Saracens. So they're hardly an exciting team.
They've got some edge there. No, I disagree. I think they've got some very good.
They've got
ballers.
The second
the backs that they're putting out at the moment, certainly in the centres, lack a bit of the cutting edge. They've got the potential there.
They've got the second best Saracens fly half. They've got the second best Tompkins brother, and they've got a guy who couldn't make it in Leicester, and that's their 3-quarter line.
I reckon what England are doing really well is containing sides. No one's really running riot against them, which I suppose is part of that pragmatic approach. It'll be interesting to see if New Zealand can unlock them at will, as they sometimes tend to do. I'm really excited about watching this game. I think if England play like they did in the second half, they will get absolutely spanked by New Zealand.
Do you know, agreed. The one player that I love for England, and he does it time and time again, is Mike Brown. Mike Brown is class.
Yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on what it is. He's not that fast. I'm not sure he's that strong, but he seems to break every first tackle.
He's very deceptive. Like, his strength is deceptive because he always beats the first man, but also his feet. He doesn't appear to be moving or changing direction that quickly, and yet he leaves defenders on the floor all around.
It's weird. I've never liked him, but I think that's more to do with the fact he's a bit of a petulant kind of.
Yeah, definitely was when he
kind
was
kind of niggly, but I think he's matured a bit. But actually, in pure rugby terms, he has been England's best player. And the other one that I'm really excited about, bearing in mind he's so young and so young in international rugby as well, Billy Vunipola.
That's what we need. Still only 20.
But then you look at the other things, don't you? Like the second row enforcers or the anti enforcers.
Laws.
There's no real seven there,
and Laws functioning very well with Hartley. Last week the lineup struggled a bit against Australia, but this week with Hartley and Laws both Northampton, lineup looked really good. And Laws has demonstrated that he can call the lineup.
He might be gangly looking, but power.
I love Laws.
Yeah. Laws has got power.
I'm a big Laws fan.
And the timing on the hits as well. Just that right on the edge where the fly half releases the ball. And you know, as a fly half, that Laws is going to be there, right on the release of the ball.
I'm going to say, I don't think Stuart Lancaster could have done a lot more to get to England where they're at now.
Is this fair to say England are just a reflection of their coach? Sensible, pragmatic, sort of boring, not outstanding.
No, I think they are a bit more than that.
I think they are a reflection of the coach, and that's tactically astute, pragmatic, definitely. But what's wrong with that? Seven wins in a row? Is that seven out of eight wins?
I don't know. I'm just glad at the moment that I'm Welsh, because the Welsh team certainly has that bit of Gatland about them, kind of edginess.
Well, I mean, I think the reality of the Rugby Championship's kicking in for Argentina. Yes, they're getting exposed to top-level opponents, but they're too regularly feeling what losing is like, and that seems to have affected them. And I wonder if, as far as the Southern Hemisphere side goes, that's what Wales are experiencing right now. Is it mental now? Is it mental?
No. That they cannot beat.
17 times they've tried and failed to beat one of the three Southern Hemisphere
interestingly,
teams.
My prediction was spot on, that Wales would win. Unfortunately, we were robbed of Jonathan Davis, Adam Jones. But that last try was not a try. The guy was offside. Wales were coming back into the game. Wales, very interestingly, I thought they looked very, very good. And there's something very interesting going on as well at the breakdown for Wales. I assume that Gatland has taught Rhys Priestland that when you get tackled, you immediately have to flop to your knees, look terrified, double backwards, and then spill the ball.
He looked like a little kid that's been hit by the bigger boys, didn't he?
He looked terrible.
Particularly in contact.
He looked terrified.
When he got the ball and he looked up and he realised that George North, Jonathan Davis, Jamie Roberts weren't actually outside him, then he's going to have to take contact himself.
Liam Williams!
Mummy! Oh no. They clearly do represent the Northern Hemisphere's best hope at the World Cup in 2015.
I've got to give that to France, I think.
Really?
Yeah,
it's another 2 years, I think.
In terms of the quality of the players, France should be, but will they?
Yeah.
We've got Farrell for England, who's boring. We've got Priestland and Bigger for Wales, who are boring. France have a 29-year-old 10. Is that his first cap?
I think he's got about four or five caps.
He looked ace.
He played a bit over the summer. But first caps.
What's his name? Thales?
Remy Thales? Yeah.
He looked ace. Took it up to the game line, controlled the game. I don't mean control the game like Owen Farrell controls the game by kicking it everywhere or the Rhys Priestland high kick. Like, actually controlling it by running to the line and giving a pass. He looked awesome.
In terms of international rugby, there's some, excuse the pun, there's some green shoots in Ireland.
Go on.
Well, I just thought they look really, really good. They've uncovered a prop. Jack McGrath, who he got the better of Mulapola, and then when James Johnston came on for Samoa, he got the better of him as well.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Tight heads, you look at Adam Jones and the importance of him to Wales. Yeah. Yeah. And if they've uncovered someone...
I'm surprised they didn't go further and upgrade it again with Census Johnson, so he could go through all of the Samoan props.
And then Dave Carney debut, two tries, and looked really, really good.
Very good result beating Samoa, who are obviously a very strong team, although they had a few people missing.
Yeah, but Ireland didn't have Johnny Sexton. But I look at Ireland...
Who did they play at 10 then?
Paddy Jackson.
But when you look and you go, right, Jack McGrath, tight head, if he turns out to be as good as he is, Jack McGrath and Kean Healy as your two props could be a dominating... force in the front row. You've got Sean O'Brien, probably the best ball-carrying back row in world rugby, if not the best back row in world rugby. Mm. You've got Johnny Sexton at 10, and you've still got Brian O'Driscoll in the centre.
This is where it all falls down, right? Yeah. When Brian O'Driscoll retires, I think there's going to be a strong argument in Ireland just to pack it all up. Fold Munster, fold Leinster. Let's just go home.
We've had a good run.
Yeah, we've had a good run. Let's concentrate on Gaelic or something.
Yeah, how much longer has he got left? Didn't he say 2 years ago that he was retiring from international? Yeah. And then I'm sure he said it last year.
Did he?
Yeah, and then he got persuaded to come out of retirement for the Lions or postpone his retirement for the Lions.
Can he make it to the World Cup?
He'll be thinking about it, that's for sure.
34 now?
He might consider it because he's not going to get dropped for Jonathan Davis. He's on safe territory.
Anyway, I thought Ireland showed some promise. Although, tell me one thing, right? What the hell is going on with the pitches in the Millennium Stadium and in Paris?
Yeah.
Pitches were terrible.
It looked like they were playing in a sandpit.
In Millennium Stadium, it was awful, wasn't it?
Mind you, I mean...
They've only had, eight months to prepare since the Wales-England game to get it ready.
What else are they doing in the meantime there? For it to be so bad, it looks like it's freshly laid. I don't know anything about grass science, but it looked terrible.
Yeah, I know what I can see with my own eyes, and that was bad.
It was just—it was like a carpet being rolled up. It looked terrible.
And the French pitch that you mentioned cost them potentially getting a draw out of the game when they were 7 points down at the end. And the French scrum was looking pretty good, pretty dominant.
It wouldn't happen on 4G.
It wouldn't.
That's got to be the future. Hey, listen, one other great thing that I think we all acknowledge separately as we were watching the international matches is, are we in the golden age of kits?
Well, interesting.
Are we in the golden age of kits? Because we have waxed lyrical about some amazing kits in the Premiership. Leicester Tigers, take a bow.
London Irish.
Yeah, you love London Irish,
don't
you, Phil?
Not so much London Irish.
Big London Irish kit fan.
Well, I saw England. I love that England kit. England, I think, now have got it on lockdown. They're back in their black socks or their navy socks, which I think is very important. The all-white England kit doesn't really do it for me. But they've also got those nifty little bands on the arm augment the socks.
But that looks like someone's wearing
shoulder
pad. Yeah, it looks like
Do you know that?
I thought it was like an Under Armour
shoulder pad.
I didn't know that was part of the kit.
Now, Argentina?
I was a massive fan of their... I think in one of the in the first episode, I said what a fan I was of the home Argentina kit, which had just been released at the time. But that away kit's mint as well.
The away kit is lovely. It's
lovely.
It's really, really
nice.
It
reminds me
a
little bit of the France home kit a few years ago. The home kit for Argentina, have you noticed that it's got like...
Yeah, you said this to me the other day.
The away kit has. It's like Puma footprints.
Footprints, yeah.
Puma skin kind of pattern or something.
Yeah.
Only notice it when you're right up close.
The home kit does as well. It's still a very nice kit. Like, nice colours, nice shapes.
When you're pretty close. And if you're that close to an Argentine rugby player, you're not in a good place.
The Argentine away kit is the sort of navy blue kit that Scottish fans must be looking over and coveting. They've got the short straw.
Macron.
Scotland.
They're Macron as well, aren't they?
Have they ever had a nice kit?
Because they were Canterbury before that. I didn't like their Canterbury kit.
See, I
that.
Think there's a little bit of...
You're right. Have they ever, had a good kit?
Do you know when you know an ugly girl back in school and, her name was whatever it is, and then you always associate that name then with ugly girls? Do you know where I'm going with this?
I know the principle. So think just by...
Because Scotland are so awful, I've never associated their kit as like a nice kit. I've never liked any of them, especially the one with the purple across.
See the Scottish badge on the chest, no matter what it looks like, you could put that on the blue of the new Argentina kit.
But
if it's the Scottish badge on there.
But on the flip side, I think there's a little part of me that if I'd have seen Macron on that Argentina kit, I'd have thought it was a horrible kit. I don't know.
Macron.
It just doesn't feel right having a...
Macron, the girl at school you never liked.
Did anyone see the Scotland-Japan game?
No.
Just from a kit point of view, I'm just going to ask if any of the Macron kit disintegrated like the Glasgow kit has done a couple of times.
Hope we don't get sued by Macron.
Maybe we could get them as a sponsor and we can start bigging them up.
Macron, call us.
we'll sell out. We'll sell out for you, Macron. That's how you get us to start talking nicely about your kit.
You have obviously missed the kit clash of the century, though.
Well, you...
You messaged us
saying that the two nicest kits in world rugby were playing in the Millennium Stadium at 5:30.
That's right.
I'm not so sure.
Okay, so the classical South African kit.
Yeah, love that.
So intimidating.
Yeah.
Watching them come out in those all green tracksuits is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. But then, as watching Wales warm up, and the complete package of stash which I've got, I would love that.
All the Under Armour gear.
Oh, it's so good.
Better than the Under Armour one with the little white thing on the
rubbish
on the collar. Didn't like that.
We've got that Under Armour kit at Broughton Park now, and it's disappointing.
Just another point from the Wales South Africa game. One of my housemates, Mad Dog.
How did he acquire the name Mad Dog?
Yeah, that was a long story, which we won't go into just yet. But he said he was watching it with me, the Wales South Africa. He looked at one of the players and he said, God, that guy looks a bit like Stuart Downing.
Stuart Downing?
And he was
go on.
He was referring to George North. And when he said it, I was like, you know what? I can actually see a bit of a resemblance
there. I don't know about that. They're both wingers.
Well, they are both wingers.
A friend of mine, who is fairly quiet but knows his rugby inside out, pointed out something, which I think we can all kind of identify with. Mike Phillips was about to tap and go. And Sam Warburton kind of tapped him on the shoulder, brought him back. And Phillips did this, goes, and my friend Lee goes, scrum half face. Every time you pull a scrum half back, he looks like he could have scored. He does that.
Ooh, that was a wee there.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
It's the same that there's a thing that wingers do. You know when the whistle blows and they have a ball in their hand? I bet you do this, Phil. When they have a ball in their hand and the whistle blows, they run through all the players into open field as if, if you hadn't blown,
that's
that was
exactly
a
what I was
try.
Just about to do.
Yeah. Yeah, they do like the really slow token step to the stationary defender. Yeah.
Stuart Downing does look like George North, and I reckon both are as damaging to England. Both Stuart Downing and George North.
Very good, Tim.
Did you see the Senegal-Ivory Coast match on Friday night?
Yes!
What?
Did you not see it?
So there's not just the big...
Hold on, we're talking rugby, football, what?
This is rugby.
Rugby?
So there's not just the big rugby end-of-year test matches. There were ones with the Six Nations and Southern Hemisphere teams. There's also a few others going on.
Yeah.
Senegal beat Ivory Coast 33-10.
Oh, brilliant.
Georgia beat Canada 19-15.
That's actually not a bad game, that one.
That's probably not a bad game.
Well, anyone play in Ayres Park this week?
There is Ayres Park in North Wales.
Mm-hmm.
It's Russia-Japan.
Oh, nice.
On Friday night, under lights.
One worth watching.
There are a couple of other games last weekend. Belgium lost to French universities. That's the
French
full
universities are no joke.
It's a full Belgian team. Oh yeah, Fiji beat Portugal 36-13.
Yeah, good on you, Phil. Actually, in terms of international rugby, we have just got to mention one thing before we move on. What on earth was that trophy that England got after beating Argentina? What's going on with these trophies for...
Well, first
matches between nations.
First of all, it's politically insensitive. That trophy should be shaped like the Falkland Islands, made out of oil reserves, or dead Falklands fish. Either or, I don't mind.
What is it? How would you describe that trophy? It looks like
bad modern art piece.
Yeah, like a really horrible modern art.
No, more than like Italian 90 or something.
Yeah,
it's really dated.
It's incredibly dated. But it's a good point. It seems to be every international match that there's a trophy up for grabs. Like that is England-Argentina Mark 3 or Mark 4 this year.
Is it really?
Well, the summer tour. Where there was two or three games against Argentina, and then obviously that. The Bledisloe Cup was competed 2 weeks ago for the third time
That's
this year.
That's a joke. That really is a joke. So it's not even Tri-Nations, is it? It's Tri-Nations plus one. But it should just be a one-off game. But the fact that they have a series of three with one game outside of the Rugby Championship is ludicrous.
But every time Australia plays South Africa, they've got the Mandela Challenge plate. When New Zealand plays South Africa, they've got the Freedom Cup.
Sorry, when who?
New Zealand plays South Africa.
Right, okay.
New Zealand's trophy cabinet must be bearing down under the weight of all of these. Well,
On Saturday, they won again for the third or fourth time this year, the Dave Gallagher trophy by beating France again. Next weekend will be the Hillary Shield being contested.
That's right.
Which England are currently the holders of. Probably the only trophy in world rugby that New Zealand can potentially win that they don't currently hold.
Yeah, right.
Looking up New Zealand's like record against other teams, and they've only ever been beat by like four or five, I think it's five nations.
Is that right?
They've lost to Australia, South Africa, England, Wales, France.
But
Ireland have never beaten them. Scotland have never beaten them.
It's like Anglesey winning everything. It's incredible.
Wow.
But going back to the trophies, there's a couple of other ones that I don't know who the current holder of these two are. Big trophies. The Antim Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, Antim Cup, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
Georgia versus Romania.
Nice.
And the Elgon Cup. God knows when this was last contested, but...
Elgon sounds like some sort of dishwasher tablet.
It might as well be. It's the trophy of Kenya versus Uganda.
Nice.
In rugby union.
That's a big deal, that one.
If there's any more you know about, or if there's anything you want to get in touch about and have a natter about, of course, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter and eggchasers.com. Let's move on. And a bit of music then. It's Rugby Oki time just for a second. Let's have a musical interlude. Rugby Oki is where we celebrate the singing prowess of rugby players such as Ben Foden.
Is this one where he pretends he's got his lines written down on his hand?
Yeah. Oh, it's good joke. It's a good gag.
Oh, it's great.
Like Matt Stevens. I could stay away just
to hear you breathe. It's quite good.
He's all right, isn't he? And like Alex Corbisiero.
Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right. I don't deny it. Test me, try it.
You love this so much that you're going to have to learn the words.
I actually know the words.
Up, up high. Grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before we
I'd
represent
love to get this guy
L.I.
on the show.
London Irish. You can't deny this. So, so sick. A tenant, you can't buy this.
And because the Rugby World Cup is currently going
right.
on, yeah, we're going league. Cross codes for Rugby Oki now. So this is England International Rugby League player, Tom Burgess, one of the, how many brothers are they?
Four brothers.
Who all played down under in the NRL. This is him recreating, trying to emulate Kanye West.
Sam crazy when I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't seen me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. So your diamonds up cause we're in this bitch another game. For the true fresh, looking like wealth. About to call the paparazzi on myself.
This one is the most disturbing.
So on the video, he's just on his own.
He's on his own
in his room.
Yeah. No one's forced him to do this. It wasn't like someone was recording him and he didn't realise.
Yeah, because we've got Corbisiero, who actually turns out to be a genuine world class rap star. we've got Foden, who is going out. I mean, look, if I was going to marry, what's his name, Una?
Una.
Yeah, why not? I'd sing. So what? Big deal.
That was a deal breaker.
Totally. Elliot Daly, you can hear the girls screaming in the background. Terrible at singing, but you can actually hear them. Who else have we got?
Matt Stevens,
well, he's just got a good voice. And he's probably got a career, some sort of career in media afterwards. And he's Ricky Flutie.
That was good.
Yeah, and he was quite good.
Good voice, and for charity.
He's hanging around with
Heather Small,
so that's pretty good. This one's on a webcam in his bedroom, and I think he's topless, or at least he's wearing a vest. And that, for me, is a deal breaker.
Back to rugby union then, with more rapping, kind of rapping. This is by members of Canterbury Crusaders.
Ooh.
Robbie Fruin and Israel Dagg. Israel Digg, mate. Hey, bro. Doing a bit of ripping. The song is called Never Walk Away, and it's by the Sea City Bros.
Is this something that they've written themselves?
They've written themselves and had it professionally recorded.
Wow.
Let's hear it right now.
So the rapping voices you will hear are, like I say, Robbie Fruin and Israel Dagg. The mic with the Sea City Brothers coming at ya. Ha, switch it up, make a pot like a 6-point rector. You know we got ya. It ain't over till it's over. Got a city hot and easy, move over.
It feels like it's got the touch of like the Saracens marketing men behind it. Wow. Is it wind up?
It's not in New Zealand, I suppose they are. They're the biggest stars in the country.
Yeah, they're like pop stars, aren't they?
Because they've got anything else.
Beautiful.
Now,
incidentally, can I just say on the thing of the Rugby World Cup, the organisers of the Rugby World Cup, particularly the sort of PR people, have absolutely butchered it. They have ruined, I think, what was a great opportunity. You speak to anyone in the street and go, the Rugby World Cup's on. Even we're in Manchester, where it's happening.
Yeah.
People don't know it's even
that
happening.
That was exactly what I was about to say next. As soon as you were about to say no, I was going, no, neither have I, because nobody has.
Yeah,
and I would watch it every day if it was on.
I've seen one game on TV. Half the games aren't even broadcast.
Yeah. I want it to be easier.
Surely the purpose of having a World Cup in the country is, yes, you know, the fans of that game are going to, you know, get involved and keep an eye on it and watch it. But it's to sort of introduce the game to a new audience. And if there's one thing for England to learn ahead of 2015, it's actually make a bit of bloody effort in reaching out to new fans, because the organisers of the Rugby League World Cup, they just haven't spent any money or effort or on promoting it. Yeah. It's just terrible.
It's as if they don't care. Like, no time, no effort.
I can't work out for the life of me why Rugby League isn't bigger. I can't work out why it's not big, big in the United States. It's simple, it's violent, it's fun to watch. where's the downside? And yet they only play it on a tiny, you know, along a tiny stretch of road on the M62, and that's it.
And especially for a sport which actually has been the innovators and have brought in things before other sports, and rugby union's actually followed rugby league in a lot of respects. I just think they've scored a massive own goal with this.
Well, no, because you might notice an own goal. They haven't scored any goals.
Yeah,
they've not even turned up to the game when they're supposed to play.
But anyway, so there we go, organisers of England 2015.
No, they seem to be pretty switched on at making a book or two, the RFU.
Right then, I've got this for you. Danny Cipriani seems to get a mention every week on the podcast.
Yes, he does.
Danny Cipriani may well have little trouble attracting glamorous girlfriends, but he also seems to have a track record for losing them quite easily.
So
the latest bit of news is he was dating, since he broke up with Kelly Brook, underwear model Sophie Graydon.
Right.
Have we got a picture of her?
Yeah, let's stop this and let's have a look at her first. Because otherwise I can't focus.
You need the context, don't you? Obviously.
Yeah.
Graydon.
We need to understand.
I've got Sophie Gardner, Sophie Ridge, Sophie Robson, Sophie Hollington.
I've got a picture of her doing rodeo on like a mechanical bull.
Let me come round.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it looks like his type.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of people's type. Very nice.
Oh, my word. So Sophie Graydon's dumped him because she said Danny Cipriani is too boring. Now, Sugar Babes, Amel Baraba was an ex-girlfriend of his. She called him tedious, and that's why they broke up. So,
I think that's what the director of Melbourne Rebel said.
Called him tedious.
Tedious.
Yes.
Probably, maybe not in the same way. Maybe not in an intimate one-to-one relationship. But Danny Cipriani is boring. I suppose there was one other bit of it, evidence for that, and that is when BBC Sport did a short documentary on him and sent Gabby Logan round to his house.
Oh, yeah. What?
The whole content of that chat was him making her a chocolate Nesquik.
Yeah.
And telling her that his tipple was Malibu and pineapple.
She really, really struggled to get anything out of him.
Yeah.
I once saw Danny Cipriani in Manchester in the cinema.
I heard a story.
And it was days after his transfer from Melbourne Rebels to Sale Sharks had been announced. So he'd been in Manchester at most a few days. Never lived up here before. And he was at the cinema on a Monday night with these two massive guys with tattoos and these two, like, scumbag 17, 18-year-old looking girls. I don't know how he attracted them in those salubrious types in such a short space of time. But he managed it.
The boy's got some skills. He could teach a lot of people a lot of things, but not to necessarily riveting conversation.
I would recommend anyone watch that disingenuous interview with Gabby Logan. I don't drink, except for in Australia and in London Wasps and in front of buses in Leeds. But other than that, I absolutely do not drink.
Well, so here's a question. So he's been criticised by his love interests. And again, he's not here to speak for himself, but of being boring off the pitch. So quick question. Who's the most boring rugby player you can think of on the pitch?
Ooh. Dan Bigger. Rhys Priestland.
Dan Parks.
Oh, Dan Parks. Dan Parks might be more exciting than the two current Welsh tens.
Brad Barrett.
Yeah, see, England could potentially go to war with Farrell, Barrett, Tompkins...
Yeah, there's not much attacking potential there.
Yeah,
Goode and what's his
name? Oh god, Goode at fullback.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the bad Goode.
Yeah.
I want to give a little honourable mention to a certain team in a certain era, Plymouth Albion under Graham Dawe. Now, did you ever have the experience of playing against that team?
I played against them a couple of times. Yeah, and in fact, I played against Graham Dawe. He came off the bench. One of the last games I played at that level. I think he was 47 at the time. He came off the bench.
Incredible. Really?
Yeah.
Incredible. That is incredible that he was still able to play himself. At one point, they had a team with some amazing players. They had the Arscott brothers coming through as youngsters. Dan Ward-Smith was like the main man.
They're a good set of second rows there.
Yeah, they're some good players. They very nearly got top of the league, I think. Bristol got promoted and would finish just above them by a point or two in the championship. But they did that playing a game plan which was a rolling maul, and they would regularly have 13 or 14 man rolling mauls.
Rotherham played a similar tactic. I remember they had a huge set of forwards, like humongous pack, and And I remember reading one write-up of one of their games that said the only thing bigger than the Rotherham pack was the Rotherham back line. So they would just get, they had basically 14 forwards and a man kicking the ball to the corners.
It kind of segues on quite nicely. You mentioned, you know, players getting blooded because of injuries and a big injury lineup, and then some people get an international cap. Because we arrive at our dream team. We pick a topic and then try and fill 15 shirts and make a team based around that topic. And the topic this week is the international What a Waste 15. The individual who either should have got way more caps than they managed to get, or maybe, on the flip side, it could be someone who somehow...
got too many caps. Like the Emil Heskey of rugby.
Yeah,
exactly.
People who got one cap, but it was still too many. What a waste of an opportunity to blood some young talent. But exactly. We got this New Zealander over to Wales, put him in a red shirt.
Halladine Luscombe, something like that.
Exactly. So, come on then, let's kick off with the front row.
Loose head prop or tight head prop. Effian Lewis Roberts.
Oh, that's one that I had. Big Aves.
Who was Sale, then Toulon, then back to Sale. You know when he came back to Sale? I was reading his Wikipedia page today.
I'd love to read his Wikipedia page. Go on.
The deal when he went back to Sale was it wasn't like a transfer, it was a swap.
Who'd they send over?
With Sheridan going in the opposite direction.
Oh, no.
That's a bad bit of business for Sale right there.
Good Lord.
I'll throw one in.
Go on.
Because there's a little bit of a story around Duncan Bell.
Like 30s, wasn't
he? Yeah, but there's a reason for that, because I think he was overlooked by England for a while, and so basically said, you know what, I'm going to play for Wales and I'm going to qualify on residency. Then he qualified for residency and said, right, I'm available for Wales. But then it turned out, because he'd sat on the bench and not played for England Saxons, he was not eligible for Wales. And so I had to play for England. And then he managed to get, I think, a few caps for England.
The Shingler rule.
Yeah, exactly. So he turned down a couple of tours down under...
That's good money as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh.
So he turned down a couple of tours that he could have gone on because he was trying to gain residency.
It was around 2003, 2004.
He could have won some Grand Slams. What a shame.
Yeah.
So he... Because he was playing at Bath, wasn't he? Or played at Bath.
I think he was living just over the bridge there.
But yeah, so he was living in
Wales. Again, why do people do this? Do you want to live in
international caps?
South Wales? No, thank you. Or Gloucestershire? Yes, please. That's where I am.
But yeah,
there's another southwest prop, Jason Hobson, of Bristol. Got a single cap for.
He got a cap.
Him?
Yeah.
He
got a cap. A single solitary cap.
I'll tell you what. He's got a checkered disciplinary record. Yeah. I'm not even going to get into it for fear of saying something wrong.
Allow me. Let's look him up.
No, just do it in your spare time. Look at some of Jason Hobson's disciplinary things. He's had some.
Is it as bad as like Kevin Yates?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Some of it's getting. Yes. It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. All right. Shout Brits as a hooker. Three international caps for South Africa. What a waste. What a waste of a player at international level.
Great shout.
Yeah.
Right then, into the engine room.
Another England-Wales.
Mm-hmm.
England 2 Wales, Ollie Cohn.
Yes, only one cap. And has he retired as well?
He retired through injury.
Massive man.
Here's a man who has a lot of caps, but he should have had so many more. Simon Shaw. He kind of has always been kind of second to... Johnson, and then he kind of got old, and then he was like, oh, well, he'll retire next year. So let's blood some more youngsters. 10 years later, he's still playing. Yeah. Rugby hero.
I think 71 caps, mind you.
Yeah, but how many more should he have had? The guy's incredible and should have had.
That's incredible.
He should be the most capped Englishman, really.
But during that period, he just happened to have... his window of opportunity happened to be during the most successful period in England's history.
I can't believe that they couldn't utilise him next to Martin Johnson. It sounds terrifying.
Danny Grucock, Ben Kay.
Danny Grucock, yeah.
Yeah. Good era for English.
Good era for
Lawrence. Well, yeah, and before that, like Gareth Archer. Anyway, yeah.
What about Hugh Vivian?
Yeah, one cap.
One cap.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Pat Lamb.
Oh, yeah.
One cap for New Zealand made him ineligible for Samoa.
Yeah.
So he got one international cap for New Zealand. What a player.
Wow.
Pat Lamb was.
And when you've got names like Kabamba Flores.
Yeah, big names.
Incredible name.
I couldn't believe it when you pulled up the name Say it again?
Kabamba Floors.
Thank you.
Because South African flanker got one cap against England in about 2007.
Yeah, because he was meant to be really, really good. I remember watching the Super Rugby, and this guy was tearing up.
I think he got a load of caps for the Sevens team as well.
Do you remember how good Andrew Blowers was?
Yeah, I do, actually.
What a player he was. He had that awesome little stint at Northampton for four seasons. He started his international career for Samoa, but he didn't start a test match, and then he was available for New Zealand.
James Forrester as well.
James Forrester!
That guy was so talented.
Oh, man, yeah, definitely. Right, he's in. Pat Lam at six, James Forrester at eight.
I'd love to see Kabamba Floors in.
Right, Kabamba Floors, James Forrester, Pat Lam. All right?
Done.
Into the backs.
Got a scrum half?
I haven't got a scrum half.
How about Josh Valentine, who sat behind Gregan for all those years? Who else? What did Sean Perry end up on?
Probably more than he should have done.
Yeah.
I like Sean Perry.
Again, he was one of those players that came in during that horrible period of time when England were terrible.
Sean Perry got 14 caps, but I still think that's too many. Maybe we could do some help on Twitter.
Yeah, there we go. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Let's move into the rest of the back line for now.
Fly halves. What about Nick Evans? Because he's so good.
Yeah.
And he should have
totally.
More caps.
Totally, that's my choice.
I think that's exactly. That's a great shot.
What a waste. It's just he just happened to have been born just in the wrong country.
At the wrong time in the wrong country.
The wrong time in the wrong country. Yeah. He'd been a World Cup winning 100 cap.
Only 16 caps.
16 caps.
Only 16 caps.
What a waste. What a waste.
Because any other team, we've said this before, any other team in the world he would have walked in.
Centres, I'm going with Pat Howard. Because although he does have caps and a fair few of them, he had to move over to Leicester, you know, because he had so much competition from Tim Horan and whoever else it was.
Yeah, 20 caps for someone of his calibre is nothing, is it?
He was pretty much winning, winning premierships on his own. Actually, he wasn't. He was winning premierships behind Martin Johnson's pack. But still, he was very good.
And again, if he was born English, he would have had 80 caps and been the main... Well, yeah, he would have been... Johnny Wilkinson would have succeeded after Pat Howard. He's what a player. So, yeah, I'll go with that. Maybe him inside centre.
I've got a few centres.
Yeah.
Regan King.
Well done.
If only Wales wish he was born Welsh.
We have been trying to change...
Or wish he didn't have that cap.
That one cap in 2002.
We've been trying to change the rules around Regan King for the last 5 years, I think. Maybe longer.
Yeah.
He's awesome. I actually saw him live playing stuff from State, and he's awesome.
Great player.
James Downey, former Northampton, current Munster. 32 and he was captain this summer by Ireland for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
He had a great season last year.
Mm.
One Ireland cap. Definitely.
He's got two caps. Some might say two caps too many. Ayula Irinlay.
Do you know what?
I play county rugby with Ayula.
I think there's one of Wasps coaches. Said he's the best impact player that he's ever had. I mean, I don't know if that's a slight or not.
He'd probably go in a Brains 15 if we ever do it, because he's actually won an episode of Countdown.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good lad.
Yeah, he's a bright boy. Two England caps.
Yeah, two England caps. Barry John Mather.
Oh,
if anyone remembers him.
Yeah. Handed us the victory at Wembley. That was his cap against Scott Gibbs, when Scott Gibbs danced over the line.
Oh, yeah. Was it? You can't get in the team for that.
Steve Hanley. It's just come back to me now. He played
as a winger.
Yeah, but we've got our centres.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he played in the same game as Barry John Mather. I can't believe he never got another shot.
Steve Hanley.
One cap, scored a try. And he was, until recently, the Premiership's all-time leading try scorer.
Do you know what the scariest part about this is? That... it's now Cueto, who is God knows how old, and been playing for so long. Something like five tries behind him. Tom Vandell, chasing him down.
Yeah, he'll get that in no time.
Yeah,
providing he's not picked for England, which I don't think he will.
Because Vandell's had that big advantage of not really playing for England.
Well, he's quite good, obviously.
If you see that as an advantage, if you're purely looking at the Guinness Premiership top scorer or Viva Premiership top scorer as the highest accolade that a player can win in their career.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Only four caps.
In Vandell?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Issa Nathewa as well, for the Leinster fullback, one cap.
Oh, wow.
Is it Fiji?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was born and raised in New Zealand. He qualified to play for Fiji because of his ancestral links and was included in the squad for the 2003 World Cup. In 2006, he quit the Fiji national team because he wanted to change his eligibility from Fiji to New Zealand, but wasn't allowed to. So what's our back three then? Steve Hanley.
I quite like Mark van Gisbergen.
Mark van Gisbergen's
was
a good
only one.
One
cap? I thought he had a run in the
cap.
Team.
Only one cap.
Are you sure?
I think he was in the squad for a while.
Yeah.
No, he must have more than that.
No, that's right. Mark van Gisbergen, I like that one.
MGV?
James Simpson Daniel, arguably could have got a lot more for England.
I mean, was he on 14, something like that?
10, I have him down as. Rudy Wolf, 4 caps.
Good name.
Rennie Ranger, 6 caps.
Great player.
Clive Griffiths, coaching Doncaster at the moment, got 1 cap for Wales in the 1970s.
You know your back threes, Phil. Come on then, who would you say is the biggest waste out of that lot? Waste of international talent?
If we went for Hanley, Gisbergen, Van Gisbergen.
Done.
Definitely.
Done. Still a bit shaky on the old number 9 there, but you can give us some help at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com.
It captained your country the most times, with 85, overtaking John Smith. Mm-hmm. And he's won 75 out of 85 of those test matches. That's just absolutely astonishing.
That is incredible. Yeah, doff our caps to you. He is gonna be the great, isn't he? So, yes, well done to you, Richie McCaw. And, of course, in the short podcast, which we'll be doing on Friday, we will be looking ahead to that huge game, England against New Zealand, when Richie McCaw's side will be going to Twickenham. As well as all the other international matches and the domestic matches as well. LV Cup, who gives a damn?
Yeah.
Whatever.
There was only one win for the Welsh sides.
Yes, I've seen it.
And that was when two Welsh sides were playing each other. even Worcester beat Cardiff Blues.
Even Worcester managed
to win
a game. Unbelievable.
Well done,
the first win of the season, so well done, Dean Ryan and your troops.
Well done, Richie McCaw, well done.
Every time I hear that name, Dean Ryan, I want to go on a rant. Why do they keep giving the man a job?
They're down, aren't they?
Yeah, they've gone.
It looks like it.
Like losing those two home games to...
Dean Ryan's fault, though.
Losing at home to Newcastle and losing at home to London Irish. It's gone, they've gone. Anyway, we will look ahead to the international matches on Friday. Download the podcast. I'll tell you what, if you subscribe, you can get it delivered straight to you. But thank you very much for downloading and for listening. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Bye.
And that is Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Well, what should we be sang out by? Do you want a bit of...
Burgess.
Burjo. The heir to the rapping throat. Well, no, actually, no one's ever going to take off.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do if he wants to catch up with Corbusiero.
Yeah.
But here is, during the Rugby World Cup, still on, is it?
It is,
right,
apparently.
For the time being, it's still on. So here is Rugby League World Cup star Tom Burgess. I'm crazy when I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't seen me cause I pulled up in my other bands. Last week I was in my other bands. So your diamonds up cause we're in this bitch another game. Photo shoot fresh, looking like wealth. About to call the paparazzi on myself. See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.